clinging desperately to the rope, for the ship plunged madly again, I kept edging further out onto the bowsprit, all the while looking back at Captain Jaggery. In the next moment, he scrambled after me. I pushed past the trembling sails. Below, the sea rose and fell. Vaguely, I sensed that the crew had rushed forward to watch what was happening. There was no more back rope to hold to, and the captain continued to inch forward, intent on pushing me off. There were only a few feet between us. With a snarl, he lunged at me with both hands. Even as he did, the Seahawk plunged. In that instant, Captain Jaggery lost his footing. His arms flew wide, but he was teetering off balance and began to fall. One hand reached desperately out to me. With an instinctive gesture, I jumped toward him. For a brief moment, our fingers linked and held. Then the ship plunged again, and he tumbled into the waves. The ship seemed to rear up. For one brief interval, Captain Jaggery rose from the sea, his arm gripped in the foaming beak of the figurehead. Then, as if tossing him off, the Seahawk leaped, and Captain Jaggery dropped into the roaring foam and passed beneath the ship, not to be seen again. Weak, trembling, soaking wet, I made my way back along the bowsprit until I could climb into the forepeak. The crew parted before me, no one saying a word. I stopped and turned. "Give me a knife," I said. Grimes took one from his pocket. I hurried across the deck to where Zachariah still stood. Keech had fled his side. I cut the rope that bound Zachariah and then embraced him as he did me. Finally, he walked to the quarterdeck rail. As if summoned, the crew gathered below.
"Shipmates," Zachariah cried, "it's needful that we have a captain. Not Keech, for he was an informer and should be in the brig. But Miss Doyle here has done what we could not do. Let her be captain now."